Into On Texas Football. It's time for a little coffee and football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel. Blake Monroe traveling this week. It's brought to you by BKCW Business Insurance there in Austin, Texas. CJ, Jerry, good morning. Longhorns had a good day yesterday picking up Jermaine Lole, 6'3", 310-pound defensive tackle out of Louisville. CJ, you did a little data research on Jermaine Lole. What did you find out, buddy?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a really, really talented guy. Came in with 1,600 career snaps from Arizona State and Louisville. So a guy that's been on the field a lot during his career. Of course, a guy that also plays, in that B gap, over the tackle, out at edge, plays in the A gap. You can slide him really anywhere on that defensive line at the moment. It's more versatility for this group, which, as we know, replacing Trill Carter, Tavondre Sweat, and Byron Murphy, that's going to be a task for Kenny Baker and this staff to really figure out which pieces gel together on the field. And if you need a platoon, guys, if you need line switches like in hockey, who works well with who? Now we know Texas is going out and getting guys with a lot of experience. Veteran guys who have been around the college game for quite a while now. That's kind of a recurring theme when you look at this defensive line as well. And, of course, with Lole, he can play just about anywhere on that defensive line, and it's encouraging, of course, seeing the production all the way from a zero technique over the nose all the way out to an edge on the outside of a tackle. He can play just about any spot on that defensive line. He's played a lot at the three tech. That's where we saw most of his snaps a year ago at Louisville. But again, 140 snaps almost right over the tackle. That's encouraging to me that he's able to spin all the way out that wide when looking at how Texas is kind of piecing this room together at the moment with a lot of guys who may not be that top elite guy at the moment, but it's a lot of consistent play that have a lot of snaps in their career that you can kind of pick and plug where they want to be at a time.
Hey, I look at it, and it's one more piece of the puzzle overall, CJ, for the Longhorns. Jerry, your thoughts on this, as well as the Longhorns portal efforts overall. This makes 10 in total for the winter and spring portal transition.
Well, I think the key with Lole is after year two, by the way, evaluated out of high school, signed by Antonio Pierce and Herm Edwards. Those guys know talent, okay? Look, after his sophomore year, 71 tackles, 6.5 sacks, that guy was firmly on NFL radars. Then the injury set in. So I don't think he's going to be that level player. I think last year he built a little confidence. Well, he played about 400 snaps last year, coming off of two missed seasons with a pectoral and an elbow and I believe a meniscus. So he had some bad injury luck, but he was able to bounce back and make it through last year. So the question is, how much better will he be in his final year in year two? If Texas could get 35 tackles and 3 or 4 sacks out of the guy, he's going to be an impactful player for Texas. If you look back at him, I watched some of his old Arizona State stuff, even tried to go back and watch some of his high school stuff. I'm on the road, so a little limited in time, but his quickness and his motor were definitely the difference makers for him early on in his career. Obviously, he was coached up pretty well as well at Arizona State, but that guy had the motor. He had the foot quickness. He had the body quickness, the reactive quickness. It was easy to see why he was on the NFL radar. The question now is, what can he be this year? 2 years removed from all the major injuries. So some people have said it's like Jalen Catalan. I think it's a little different because he actually came back and was healthy enough to give you a lot of snaps last year at Louisville. So does he make another jump this year? If he does, he ends up being a pretty good player for Texas. There's no doubt. Again, he's a guy that's played against USC, UCLA, played against really good football teams, and he's had success against them. His confidence will still be there if he's healthy. That's the whole key. But I think Texas in the portal, I think they've done we've given him an A-. I keep it at an A- after Lole. But that's three adults in the room, three guys that are, you go up to Michigan and you go up and play against the physical team in Michigan, you feel better with the experienced guys who've had success at this level. So I think Texas has done good work in the portal. We'll see if they have any additions. People have already asked in the chat about Johnny Bowens. We'll see what happens there. Johnny Bowens got to get his head in the books a little bit here, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah,
definitely in the balance. Let's say that.
Yeah, I think the good way to put that, Jerry, is right now You said it 2 days ago, 3 days ago. They're in the evaluation phase, not in the recruiting phase.
That's right.
Owens and other defensive linemen. Okay, there's no other defensive lineman that they're actively, quote unquote, recruiting. They're evaluating.
Yeah.
So that is a difference. So while Johnny Bowen says, and he told CJ this a couple days ago, hey, I want to come in for a visit. There's no visit scheduled, and we've said that from the start. So let's see how it's at. CJ, from a scholarship board update, that now puts Texas theoretically at 83, I believe, right? That means Texas has two more to give. But you know what? I'm hearing there actually may be three spots if one of them is a punter or one of the other guys that came in at midterm is actually not on scholarship, but they're using NIL. So Texas is going to try to continue to use NIL as a possibility to expand its roster. But overall, as of right now, we think they have two to three spots left. Where do you see Texas potentially going outside of defensive tackle?
Yeah, of course, I think they've done a great job addressing the defensive tackle spot. I think you have seven guys at the least right now that you could cycle in and certainly see game time early on against Michigan is probably the big test early in the season, no doubt. But aside from that, I think Texas has done a good job addressing the secondary. Andrew Makuba joins the fold, and of course, Javion Cole coming in to replace the departures of Terrence Brooks and Austin Jordan. Could they still look for a guy in the secondary? I don't think it's too much too out of the picture at the moment. Of course, we certainly believe that they've upgraded and addressed some of the needs in that secondary. They've gotten faster. There's a little bit more athleticism in that group. But of course, you look at the departures. There's eight guys from that secondary group a year ago that have departed. So could they go back and look at a safety spot, the cornerback spot, maybe just try to add depth or a veteran guy? I think that would be something in the fold. I've also looked at linebacker as a place where maybe a body would be necessary. Of course, with Kendrick Blackshear and Samaje Burrell leaving in the spring window, Texas looking like that could be a spot in my eyes as well. And of course, Bobby, you mentioned punter. I don't think necessarily Texas is looking on the offensive side of the ball. I think that was addressed out of the winter portal window. And the way you look at that roster at the moment, it looks pretty good across the board, across each position. So I like the way the offense is looked setting up at the moment. Punter is a spot I definitely think Texas takes a run at. Safety linebacker, I think, certainly could be worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, hey, we need to say thank you to our sponsor, and then we got some other news I want to mention here today. We have a special occasion this morning that we want to talk about. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, and that is BKCW. BKCW is a business insurance company based in Austin. Look, they talk about the insurance trap at BKCW, and what I mean by that is if you've been in a situation where you have had all of these, what do you want to call it, guys? If you've had an insurance situation where guys have come to you at the very last minute and you've had to overpay because they dropped something on at the very last minute, that's called the insurance trap. BKCW tries to work to get you out of that each and every time. They give you a consultant and you actually work with them one-on-one. Give them a shout at 512-250-5055 or visit them at bkcw.com, or you can even email them info@bkcw. Again, escape that insurance trap for commercial insurance for your business. Good stuff there. All right. I gotta notice this. I mean, Jerry, there are people in here saying it's your birthday. Is that true, my man? How old are you?
I'm celebrating my 40th for the ninth time today. Yeah. Well, it was a hell of a sunset in Punta Gorda last night at TT Tiki's, where I had dinner after I got over here by Port Charlotte. So it was a hell of a sunset, man. The west coast of Florida, man. The sunsets don't get much better than that. I know some guys live over there that are on this chat, but it is. And hey, look, I'm not sure how much better a birthday can get than going to watch one of the best D tackles in the country. So that's what we're doing after this.
Hey, are you going to see Myron Charles?
Yeah, I'm going to go over to Port Charlotte, see Myron Charles, maybe make my way up to Tampa after that. We'll see kind of what unfolds in the timeline perspective. I want to say this too. Yesterday, I went to see Dia Bell at American Heritage, the 26 quarterback There's two quarterbacks that with offers from Texas right now, and that's Troy Huhn out of San Marcos Mission Hills there in SoCal, and Dia Bell at American Heritage in Plantation, Florida. Obviously, the son of Raja Bell. We're going to have the interview, 13-minute interview up on Texas Football here later. Unbelievable kid. Unbelievable kid. I've been to that school so many times over the years. Unbelievable talent there. Pat Surtain used to be the head coach. Some of the guys on his staff. Coach Smith has taken over there. They do a great job. His DC, maybe the best DC in high school football. Daryl Porter played briefly in the NFL. He's tremendous. But they have so much speed. That Bobby, they have three guys that ran 10-6 that are sophomore receivers. One of them ran 20.5 and 10.25. 20.5 Thursday in the 200 is a sophomore. I mean, unbelievable speed in South Florida. But Dia Bell, look, the interesting thing with Dia Bell and Troy Huhn is they both have one camp date locked in for June. It's Texas June 1st for the elite camp. It's pretty obvious, barring a change, that Texas quarterback in the 26th class is going to be either Troy Huhn or Dia Bell. The question is, who's it going to be? And I think that'll be interesting. Dia Bell, the other schools are LSU and Penn State. I think are really there for him. Both those OCs were out the first day of the spring evaluation period, the first day American Heritage had practice. I think A.J. Milwee's scheduled to be out there May 20th, so around the spring, maybe be the 23rd for their spring game. So we'll see. Troy Huhn, Dia Bell, 26 quarterback recruiting. It's here, guys. Remember, K.J. Lacy committed to elite camp last year. So June 1st is Texas elite camp, and Troy Huhn, Dia Bell will both be there. They don't have any other visits scheduled yet. Does that mean both those guys are absolutely waiting on the CU Texas picks? No. But my years in the business tell me that might be their first choice right now. We'll see.
The question I have for there, those are the two. So no in-state quarterbacks really are hitting the mark for the class of 26?
Well, I think A.J. Milwee, he's out this month watching some of those guys. Grant Smith at Grand Oaks, Jet Surratt at Carthage. He's going to get out Ferret, the kid in El Paso, who's very talented. He's going to get out and see those guys, right? So things could change. But as far as the guys – that have been on campus that they offered. They've offered three guys in 26. One of the kids from Nashville area committed to Georgia. He was going to Georgia. That was going to be off the board. That was a Georgia or Tennessee deal. So you have Troy Huhn, who has the history, obviously, with Danny Hernandez. Sarkisian has history with Danny Hernandez, the QB instructor there in SoCal. And then Dia Bell was a kid that him and Raja, his dad, they came on campus for a visit right at the beginning of spring practice. And Dia will he'll tell the story on the video about how Sark offered him. He was not expecting that. And I asked him, I said, was your dad kind of low-key expected? Is that why he flew you out there? He said, no, we're both surprised that Texas offered. And Texas had gone out and watched him throw, I believe, in January in the offseason as well. So he's a kid that I think both him and Troy Huhn were first-year starters on varsity last year, both really talented kids. And Texas unexpectedly jumped in the Dia Bell sweepstakes, I think a little earlier than American Heritage staff was thinking, Raja Bell was thinking, and Dia Bell was thinking. So that was interesting to information yesterday at the school stop. That's why we go, right?
It is. I mean, that's why you gotta get out there and actually see these guys in person. That's what the coaches are doing themselves as well. All right, this is the Friday morning coffee and football show brought to you by BKCW. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton, CJ Vogel. About 15 minutes every morning into this, CJ. You're a newcomer to this show a little bit. You were with me for a while, but Blake Monroe is out today traveling. About 15 minutes, we get a ton of new people in. And so I want to mention again, Texas picking up Jermaine Lole, the defensive tackle out of Louisville yesterday. I also want to say this, Jerry, there's a lot of questions, and CJ, there's a lot of questions right now around this commitment. One of them is from Jay Lee. Lole was committed to OU, but still able to sign elsewhere. How can we tell who else is, quote, committed elsewhere, but still available?
We can't.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult. I think that's the reality of it. We knew about Lole beforehand. I think that was pretty evident from some things we did not report on purpose. But, you know, look, the reality of it is right now is This is still the Wild West at some level. And when I'm talking about the portal, however, I do think there's a level of normalcy beginning to take root in the portal. Jerry, CJ, you agree with that? We're starting to understand how things are working in the portal at this point.
I think the key is, and I think where this question comes from is something we reported on a Dominic Williams visit. The key is for the SEC teams, if you're the first one out of the gate in the visit, if you can get the kid to sign the scholarship papers or the grant and aid papers, I should say, then he's done. He can't go to another SEC school, period. You can go to a Pac-12 school, or over there, so over Pac-12, sorry, people. Big 10, ACC, Big 12 school. You can go to another conference, but that technically means you can't go to another SEC school once you sign that grant and aid paper, I believe is what it is, Bobby, technically called. So it's obvious that that did not happen with Jermaine Lole, but that's what the teams who are recruiting SEC versus SEC are trying to do here. If they can get a kid on campus first and they can get him to sign the scholarship papers, then he's done. I mean, you can't – no SEC to SEC. It's over at that point in time. So it's obvious that Lole did not do that. By the way, somebody asked if anybody's ever seen producer Matthew, a picture of producer Matthew. Just look up a picture of Fabio in the 90s. That's our guy. not that I looked that up. I'm just telling for you guys. That's kind of the deal right there. Is if you don't sign the grant and aid papers, you can still be recruited by other SEC schools. The second you sign grant and aid papers with an SEC school, you're done.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the whole piece. And this is why I was actually going to read this. How did Naaman Roberts is asking, how did we flip an Oklahoma commit when the SEC doesn't allow it in the conference? He hasn't signed. The young man hadn't signed his grant and aid. And, you know, frankly, they may not do that until they show up on campus until June. So that doesn't mean all the Texas guys are necessarily all signed. I will say this, though. If Texas has put out a tweet about them, they have signed grant and aid.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't go somewhere else, but they can't go within the SEC.
Yeah,
that's where that's at. All right, a couple other things. We are celebrating Jerry Hamilton's birthday today. Thanks, Jack Lala, from Poland there. Zlotys is the name of the currency in Poland. Happy birthday, Jerry, the best in the business. Thank you, Jack. Also, I want to put this out. We are a family here a little bit on Coffee and Football on Friday mornings, or actually every day of the week. Christian Rios, this is something important here. His wife is in surgery and using Coffee and Football to keep nervous thoughts away. Hook him. Christian, we understand. I've been there myself, dude. Stay strong, and we're all thinking about you, too. All right, this one from Mike G. Let's go to this one. Do you guys think the defensive back signings are more about perceived deficiencies in those positions or about the coaching staff feeling this team can compete for championships and covering all bases? Fair question. What do you think, CJ?
I think it's obviously a little bit of both. I mean, you're not going to go to waste with a third-year returning starting quarterback and offensive line that returns 4 out of 5 and, you know, going out and adding all these wide receivers and a tight end that can make big-time plays down the field. You know what you have offensively. It's time to go out and make sure that the defense can, you know, sustain and run with what you expect on the offensive side of the ball. Of course, on the defensive side of the ball, you go out and you add 3 defensive tackles. I think we all know with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat departing, even with Terrell Carter leaving as well, there is a bit of a gap in terms of not only the depth, but the talent. And I think Texas went out, addressed that. There's a hole there when you looked at the rest of the defense in its entirety. We talked about the edges getting better, the safety rooms improved, linebacking with David Benda, Anthony Hill, Leonga Lafau, Maurice Blackwell. That's a good group behind you. You can't allow teams to run all over you in the SEC, a league in which physicality is basically the MO across the board in this conference. Texas has gone out, obviously, again, and addressed cornerback with Terrence Brooks and Austin Jordan departing. Texas has done a good job of addressing depth issues and, of course, adding talent and guys who have been around and been, had production on the field as well. That's a big thing going into the SEC. I look at college basketball pretty often. I know it's not the same, one-to-one comparison here, but when you have a veteran point guard, things just seem to move a lot smoother on the court. Texas has added a lot of guys with a lot of experience, been around the game for a lot as well. It's very important when you go into big situations like a Michigan, you host Oklahoma, go to the Cotton Bowl. Those are big games where a lot of experience is going to trump any type of lack of production, I would say. So I think Texas has done a good job, and they certainly have to do this if they want to win a championship. They can't have weak spots across the board. Otherwise, they will be schemed against, and it will be exposed in the fall.
I'll add this, and I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. If your coach goes to the podium nowadays and said, we're a young football team this year, you have the wrong coach. Can't do it. I mean, there was a Bobby had sent a text yesterday. I put it out. The four programs that did not sign somebody out of the portal this year: Army, Navy, Air Force, and Dabo Swinney at Clemson.
Only the service academies. And Dabo's. I mean, look, there is a level
in college football. If Dabo sits there next year in a press conference, said, "Guys, we're young at some spots." Yeah, that's your freaking fault, man. Don't go to the podium and say we're a young football team. There's no excuse for it anymore. You can't do it. So thank goodness Steve Sarkisian, Jeff Banks are doing a great job of running this Texas program. Steve Sarkisian, obviously, Jeff Banks is a big piece of that. But, you know, look, could you imagine right now if you went to the podium and said, guys, we're really good at some spots, but, man, you know, we're having to play a lot of freshmen at DB and D-line. Texas fans will pull their hair out. You know, you can't do that anymore. So good on Texas for understanding it. But I agree with CJ. I think it's a little bit of both. Look, you have a chance to be a college football playoff team again, and that's the goal every year. And it's attainable at Texas. Everything's there for Texas to do that. And to CJ's point, when you have this much experienced team, which you should be experienced every year, but really third year starting quarterback team, you have to go all in on those teams. Ole Miss is absolutely all in on that team. With Jackson Dart being a third year starter, right? Look at what they did in the portal on the offensive line at wide receiver. They're trying to put every piece they can around a third year starting quarterback to make a run at a college football playoff. So good on Ole Miss and Kiffin for doing that. That's the right thing to do in college football. The wrong thing to do is sign zero out of the portal when you're slowly declining.
Good stuff, Jared. I agree. I think that my take on it is why they took the defensive tackles and the defensive backs. There are some similar reasons, but they're not necessarily weighted the same at both positions.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, I think they – CJ, you put up a terrific little visual aid yesterday on the website on ontexasfootball.com. You know, Texas last year had five defensive tackles have 200-plus snaps, I believe it was, right? It was Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat. Sweat had 400-plus. Murphy was in the high 300s. And then you had Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton. And then Trill Carter, I think, had right at 200, whereas – Collins and Broughton were in the 300 range. So Texas lost three guys that had experience there, not just two. And they went out and added three guys that have a lot of experience at defensive tackle, and Savea, Norton, and now Lole. Okay, all 200-plus, 300-plus defensive linemen a year ago as far as snaps. So they clearly felt there they needed more more experience. In the secondary, I felt like it was a little bit different. I felt like the secondary, they needed some high-end guy. They needed at least one guy like an Andrew Makuba. They didn't go whole hog in the secondary, though. They didn't – I mean, there's five starting spots in the secondary. There's only two at defensive tackle. Well, Texas took three defensive tackles, and they only took two defensive backs. One safety and one corner. So that should kind of tell you a little bit about where the focus was. I think DB was overwhelmingly in decent shape, whereas defensive tackle was more red alert. Does that make sense to y'all? It's just a slight difference in how I feel like those two positions got looked at by people. Guys, we got a couple other chats coming in here. Happy birthday, Jerry. May God bless you on your travels. From Z from the T. Alry says, happy birthday, Jerry. Safe travels. Hopefully it's a good one. What's your favorite spot for beef jerky? We've been talking about your beef jerky activities for a while. What? Tell CJ, because CJ may not have heard this, and CJ is on the road himself. He's going to see Riley Pettijohn on spring game today. What's going on with you as far as beef jerky?
I'm still Robertson's at Love's is pretty much on, you know, the I-10 trips. I'm still Robertson's from Love's. No Man's Land's pretty good as well. Those are kind of my two right now, have been for a few months. But yeah, it's really Robertson's, you know, have the little canister of beef jerky, which is good. You just throw it in your seat over there while you're driving down I-10. This has been a long trip too, guys. I mean, so it's been a long trip for the old Love's canister, the Robertson's there. I mean, we started from Houston and went to Saraland, up to Carrollton, Georgia, in Atlanta, watched a little AAU basketball Friday night. KD was actually there watching Team Durant. And then came down to Milledgeville, Georgia for a sectional track meet, on into Brunswick, Jacksonville, all the way down Palm Coast and down into South Florida, the American Heritage, and over the Port Charlotte, back up to Tampa and up the state today. So it's been a good week for a good few 10 days for Robert beef jerky on the road.
So here's my take on that, Jerry. When I used to make those trips like that and go into South Louisiana and into Florida, and I was always looking for the best shrimp poor boy. you're eating beef jerky and I was looking for shrimp poor boys. Probably just the difference in what we like. I got a question here, Jerry, that I want to go back to you on, because we were talking about the two quarterbacks that Texas and Steve Sarkisian is offered in the 2026 class. Troy Hune out of San Marcos, California, Southern California guy. Dia Bell out of South Florida. You just went and saw Bell in person. I don't know that you've seen Hun work out in person, although I know you've met him in person at one of the junior days that Texas had. What would you do here? Triplet Joseph is asking, how do Bell and Hune compare? And would you take Hune first if he's ready before Bell, or would you wait?
It's a tough question. I mean, that's a tough question for me. Like you said, I haven't seen Troy throw it in person yet. I thought what I saw from Dia Bell yesterday was, I think he's a naturally accurate guy. I also think this, I think he's got some leadership to him. He's not afraid to speak up with his teammates, and there's some really talented players there. So I like that from him. I don't want to sit there and say the guy's an alpha. He's a younger kid, right? I think he's on the track of being that, but he's got the confidence. He is not scared to tell his teammates what they need to do. But I liked his accuracy. I like that he has a compact arm yesterday. He's got really good feet. He grew up a point guard in basketball. Obviously, that shouldn't surprise anybody because his father, Rajah Bell, is a longtime NBA player. So he grew up, it's kind of like KJ Lacy. Those point guard quarterback guys, they see the game really well, is what they do. And I think they see it at maybe slower because they played point guard in basketball, because they play quarterback in football. So they're used to a lot in their peripheral and having to run a team. So I think Dia Bell is really strong there. What Texas will do, my history with Sark tells me Southern California, but we'll see what happens.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, Jerry, we're going to take a second here to thank one of our sponsors. That sponsor, of course, is South Point Dodge. Jerry, take it away, buddy.
Yeah, South Point Dodge. Place to be in Austin, right? Hey, Texas football fans, score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff doesn't do games or gimmicks. They just get straight to the point by getting you the very best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see us off I-35 in South Austin or at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point. It's South Point Dodge. The only thing missing on my trip in Florida is I'm not driving around in a South Point Dodge getting them business.
Jerry, there's some times where I got to be honest with you. You do those reads more than justice, my man. More than justice. I do believe it. I also want to say thank y'all to join us again this morning. We've got questions coming in. Feel free to ask questions. It's a kind of a free form Friday for us. We got CJ here. CJ, I want to ask you, where you've been on the road the last couple of days. You were at Bastrop for Watching a 2027 quarterback, as well as the 2026 defensive tackle, Tiki Holla, as well as a defensive back, Ramon Adams, that Terry Joseph was out to see. You were there at the same time as Coach Joseph on Wednesday. What else you been doing on your trips around the state of Texas lately? Give some highlights to folks.
Yeah, I made a stop up at Temple the other day. Got to see two really talented 2026 kids. First, James Bradford, 6'2 and a half, 6'3 cornerback, moves pretty well. Has a lot of room to grow in his game as well. Jamarion Vincent has earned about 12 or 13 offers as well. Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, amongst the teams that have already thrown their hat in the ring. 6'5 defensive end at Temple. So they have two really talented defensive pieces in the 26 class. Then Pflugerville as well. More in the 26 class. They got a tight end that's really talented. Javion Martin visited Texas for the spring game. Has a real chance to be a top tight end in the state. A basketball background, just now devoting all of his offseason for the first time to football weightlifting. Stands about 6'4 and a half, 240 at the moment. So that frame's going to change a little bit with that weight training coming on. But soft hands, basketball background again, play really, really talented football. Tiki Holder might be the best interior defensive lineman in the state for the 26th class. Of course, Ramon Adams was looking really impressive as well, just coming off of a silver medal in the state triple jump at the Mike A. Meyer Stadium in Austin for the UIL state meet. And, of course, Weston Nielsen, we're talking about 26 quarterbacks, Dia Bell and Troy Hune. He's a name to know for 27. That's a guy who also will be coming in June 1st for the elite camp. And then yesterday I made it up to Waxahachie. Got to see another 27 quarterback, Jerry Meyer, who moved in from Nevada with 58 touchdowns as a freshman. Set the state record at Nevada, now at Waxahachie. He was thrown to Jaquan Snell, who Texas offered April 18th. He was on campus for the spring game as well. And Jeff Banks and Pete Kwiatkowski were on campus Wednesday to see him in person as well. Today, a little bit of Riley Pettijohn, get to see him in action for his spring game at 5 p.m. So getting excited for that. Some really talented younger cats that have been really starting to pop on the scene here in the state of Texas. So we'll continue to evaluate. And, of course, Riley Pettijohn, getting to see what's going on with him in Texas later this evening.
Yeah, what? Tell us a little bit about what you're expecting to see from Riley Pettijohn. Is this his spring game, is my understanding?
It is a spring game. So, of course, we've talked about it before, but that 10.77 speed at about 210, 215 pounds, I want to see that on display. We know that that McKinney defense in the past has been very physical. Of course, Xavier Fields and me and Riley Pettijohn being in the same defense, that same back seven, it doesn't get much better than that for many coaches. They're undergoing a coaching change now, so I want to see if that physicality carries over. Of course, and just where things have developed in Riley's game, because that speed carries a long way. But of course, diagnosing plays, the reaction, the instincts in the middle of the field. We'll see, of course, just how that has changed this spring for him. And of course, where Texas is sitting in his recruiting update. I'm sure we'll have some good stuff coming.
Jerry, I want to ask you about this because we've already talked about Riley Pettijohn. How does he fit? How does he fit with Bo Barnes? The linebacker out of Skyline that has already committed to Texas. It feels like Barnes is more of that thumper type, whereas Pettijohn is more that outside space player. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's fair. Johnny Nansen was at Dallas Skyline, I believe, Wednesday as well to watch Elijah Barnes practice. But I think that's fair. I think Elijah Barnes, look, we had his coach, Jacody Coleman, who played linebacker very successfully at Iowa, by the way, and Beaumont Westbrook, the head coach at Skyline. We had him on, and he kind of echoed these statements. You know, tough, rugged, downhill guy if you play him in the middle. But he's also got that long arms and that versatility. You can kind of move him around, play him off the edge a little bit if you want to rush the passer. He can play in space, but he's similar, and I'm not comparing him, similar to Anthony Hill in that you want him going here a lot more than here. I think Riley Pettijohn is really good in space. I think he's a bigger, higher upside version of Leonga LaFalle, if that makes sense. A bigger frame, higher upside version of Leonga LaFalle. Leonga LaFalle, very, very smooth and natural in space and coverage. And I think Riley Pettijohn is that. Riley Pettijohn is a physical player, but I think he's an all-around linebacker that you can do a lot with. So I think they actually mold perfectly together. And the big question for Texas is who will end up being the third in the class, because it will be a three-linebacker class.
Got it. Good stuff. All right. We'll keep going here. We've got some more questions coming in. Feel free to get them in if y'all would like on this free form Friday. Here's a comment from Jay Dobbs. There's hard-headed, and then there's Dabo. If you're just now joining us, we mentioned earlier, only four teams did not take a single player out of the NCAA's transfer portal in either the winter or spring transfer portal. Air Force, Army, Navy, and Clemson. It reminds me so much of Mack Brown, late Mack Brown at Texas, where he had so much success and then decided that he knew better than the rest of college football.
And my issue is some people have said, well, how many guys did Clemson lose? That's not the point. The point is, look, there's no excuse for being an inexperienced team at any spots nowadays. There's just not. I mean, not with the portal. And the other thing there with, you know, for the people say, well, how many guys leave? Yeah, well, if Clemson was on top of college football still, people wouldn't be questioning it. But the reality is Nick Saban used the portal. Kirby Smart used the portal. Washington, DeBoer's using the portal. Sarkisian's using the portal. Harbaugh's using the portal. Mike Norvell saved his job and almost made the playoffs with the portal. He was a quarterback injury away from being in the playoffs. 2 years removed from saying he was going to, the people are saying he was going to get fired because they did a great job in the portal. So for the people to say, how many guys did Clemson lose? Well, how many games did they lose? And where are they headed long-term? Maybe he'll prove everybody in college football wrong, but I don't think he will.
You got to take every opportunity to make your team better. It's just ridiculous not to. Yep. All right. Reese Brewer asked, Jerry, was the Lole the high that you were talking about? The answer, I'll answer for you. The answer is yes.
Answer would have been no to get the chat going, but it was yes.
Hey, we did not want to give away that name out of hand, obviously. And hopefully some people were surprised pleasantly when it happened yesterday. Jermaine Lole.
Brent Venables told Bobby to keep it quiet.
Say that again?
Brent Venables told Bobby to keep that one quiet.
I don't think so. Hey, this is a good one. That's a good kind of consternation question. Jerry, if you were starting a college football program, who would you want as your day one starter? Only one can be on the roster, yours or Manning. This from Jose Rodriguez.
What's he trying to do to us here, man?
No, I'm going to say this. So I think if it was a 1 year, if I have 1 year, it would be Quinn Ewers. If I had the next 3 years, it would be Arch Manning. Look, Quinn Ewers is only going to play 13, 14 more games for Texas at most.
Yeah.
Arch Manning could play 36.
Yeah.
So if I'm a new coach and starting a new program, you know I'm not going to be competitive in year one. I mean, Jerry can say you could be competitive with it, whatever, but you're not going to piece together 25 players in the portal. Look at Deion. I mean, it's not going to happen. And so I would take the three-year ticket, as most coaches would, I think. What do you think, CJ? I see you nodding your head a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I think you take the guy that started the last two seasons. You come in again expecting him to be a top of the Heisman board coming into the year. And, of course, you don't have him for very much longer. Talking about Quinn Ewers here, if you're starting a dynasty, you know, it maybe makes sense to take Arch Manning because you have him for a little bit longer. And, of course, you can continue to mold him. And 2 years from now, you know he'll for sure still be on the roster.
Somebody's going to come back to me and say, oh, Bobby Burton said I would take him over. Yeah, that's not what I said. Just make sure.
By the way, we have a question in the chat I want to address. Somebody's asking if VY has a son. I actually was at TJ Ford's facility watching him train some basketball kids. I can't remember what I posted a photo on Twitter of VY and TJ. VY was there. His son, I believe, is a seventh grader working out with TJ. I think he's a basketball kid more than football. But VY does have a son. I believe he's at Kincaid. I'll see if he's still there. But he's more trending towards basketball. Pretty good basketball player. He was holding his own in TJ's gym against the kid his age for sure, if not being the best player out there. So, VY does have a kid coming up.
Good stuff, Jerry. We've got some more news and notes coming down the pike here. CJ, I'm going to ask you to do us a little favor and do our Friday afternoon baseball talk. The Longhorns on the road this weekend. Give us the latest on them.
Yeah, headed to UCF for the first time as a conference opponent this evening, playing at 5 p.m. Central Time. Seven series wins in the Big 12 for the Longhorns this year. The expectation is Max Scrubs is your starting pitcher again tonight. Of course, Texas last week actually started off with a Friday win. We haven't seen many of those so far this season. I know Texas kind of starts out a little bit slow on Fridays. They string it together Saturday, and then Sunday they pull the series win out of their hat. So a little bit of a flipperoo last week. And, of course, we'll see what happens with LeBaron Johnson this week. I'm not sure if he's necessarily, you know, in stone right now to be a starter in any of these games. Had a very poor outing again on Sunday last week against Oklahoma State. It just hasn't been his year. And I know he's topping 96, 97 on the gun with his fastball. But listen, if that fastball doesn't move, guys can hit that these days. And that's exactly what's happening with his fastball. The slider isn't really much of a slider, just kind of spins. You don't see much movement at 86. Anything that doesn't move, we're seeing that thing hit out of the park. And that's kind of been a recurring theme so far for him. So Matt Scrubs taking the day, get the bats hot against UCF. Texas, of course, sitting tied for second right now in the Big 12, 15-9 in the conference. UCF a little bit lower, I think 8th or 9th in the standings at 11-12. UCF a little bit better at home as well. They're 7-5. So we'll see. But Texas heading over to UCF. We'll see if there's some rocket ships taken off with from home plate this week over there by Cape Canaveral.
I was gonna say what was the deal with David Pierce's comment? Chicks dig the long ball earlier this week. Did you see that, CJ?
I did. Texas is lighting up the scoreboard in terms of I believe they're still leading the conference in home runs this year, Bobby. So they're really, really finding ways to score via the home run. And that's kind of been a new recurrence with this team rather than what we've seen in years past. Of course, with Melendez and the Clemens kids over the past couple of years, they've had a couple guys that have lit up the stat sheet in the home run category. This year, it feels like it's the entire team, and they're making do one way or the other.
All right. That's the Friday afternoon or Friday morning update on the Longhorns headed to Orlando to take on UCF this week. Thanks to our friends at ChinookCedary.com. If you want some of the freshest seeds from the state of Texas with a variety of flavors, visit ChinookCedary.com. We appreciate their sponsorship on Friday morning. Hey, Jerry, go ahead, buddy. I noticed you have something.
Some people in the chat were asking what time the number one ranked team in softball in the country plays. Baylor at 7:30 tonight. Oklahoma plays BYU. So it'll be Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship.
Got it. All right. Let's keep going for some questions here. We got a bunch of different ones coming in that I think are awesome. We're also celebrating Jerry Hamilton's 49th birthday, or actually his 40th birthday, the ninth time.
That's right.
Is what he's saying these days. So we'll keep going here. A couple more questions as we get going here. Miles Christian, is there anyone on this Texas defense that you're confident will be a day one round pick? Anybody that you're confident? The problem I have here is the best player on defense or the best athlete on defense right now, I think, at least that we've seen play in a game, is Anthony Hill. Well, there aren't many linebackers that go in the first round.
Yeah.
He would be the guy for me, but he doesn't play that position. Anybody for either of you guys, CJ or Jerry?
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question, Manny Muhammad. And I say that because now Kool-Aid McKinstry went in the second round, right? I believe that was. Is Manny going to have the combine numbers? I don't know. But I will say this. The boxes he's going to check, and Rod talks about how he plays in phase all the time, but the NFL is going to love the guy and his background once they talk to Sark. And once they talk to PK and Terry Joseph and all the guys that are part of the program, Tory Becton, they're going to love everything about Manny Muhammad. He is the same, and I'm not comparing him as a player. He's the same student of the game at a young age at Texas that Earl Thomas was. I'll never forget talking to Will Muschamp, and he said Earl Thomas, the first one guy in the film room, first guy in the film room and last one out. That was during his redshirt year. I mean, so there are certain guys who live it and breathe it. And I think Manny Muhammad is one of those guys, Bobby. Look, long term, Colin Simmons should be. It's up to him to be and healthy. You got to stay healthy. But those are two guys I would look at. I think Manny, somebody say Manny will have Terry and Arnold numbers. If I say this, if Manny Muhammad runs 4.5 flat, 4.52, he'll be a first round pick. He's got too much of the other stuff.
CJ, what do you think, bud?
Best, I actually like
the player like with the most likely to be a first round pick or a day one pick for the Longhorns on defense only.
I like Anthony Hill to be my pick. You know, at that size, you're running probably close to a low mid 4.5 at what 240 right now. You're going to be a 3-year starter in the or 2-year starter in the SEC, 3-year starter at Texas. The numbers are going to be there. The film will back it up. Right now, it's all about fine tuning the run fits for him. Otherwise, I think you have a guy that moves very well in space. He can certainly, thump a running back. We've seen that time and time again where it feels like he's just planting guys in Earth's crust. That, to me, is the makings of a first-round linebacker. I know we all agree that they're not as common as they used to be, but when you have a 5-star pedigree kid, one that certainly has the production, the experience, and the talent on the field, and then you mix in a guy that can run very well and diagnose, I like Anthony Hill's chances to be that first-round guy for the Longhorns.
Somebody brought up a good big name, the one that Texas staff has thought, Derek Williams. But he now, for him, it's going to be the big jump from year one to year two is going to be making plays on the ball for him. I think that's what you get, make plays on the ball the next two seasons, you got a chance for sure.
Gotcha. All right. This is the Friday afternoon or Friday morning live stream, Coffee and Football, brought to you by our friends at BKCW Insurance. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel. This next question comes in from King Me. Looking at the schedule, which coach will be Sark's biggest competition with regards to coaching style? This season, which coach will have the most similar coaching style to Steve Sarkisian? Look, I mean, Kentucky's defense first, Vandy is defense first, A&M is defense first. Oklahoma is defense first. George is a defensive first coach. There's not a lot of guys that are offensive first in the SEC right now. Sam Pittman's an offensive line guy by trade. I mean, Sharon Moore is a, 3 yards in a cloud of dust at Michigan. Is there anybody? State? I mean, what the heck? What are we talking about here?
I think Michigan is going to be on the schedule this year because they're going to try to choke the game. You know what they're going to try to do against Texas. They're going to try to choke the game. They're going to try to make it as physical as they can inside the tackle box. And that's going to be right out of the gate week two. So I think that is one for Texas. The other, Kentucky, I think Kentucky's going to have the same issues with Texas they have against Georgia. I think it's good in theory what they do. And Mark Stoops, when he's not up in the air flying to College Station, has done a great job at Kentucky. But at some point, they just get out talented. Like they can't, they struggle moving the ball against Georgia because Georgia has bigger and better athletes. And I think that's going to be the case next year. I actually look at Michigan from a what they're going to try to do to Texas standpoint is the one. I mean, Georgia talent wise, obviously. But I think on the schedule next year, it's Michigan.
Got it. Yeah, I'm sure Sarkisian's actually pretty thrilled to not be going against a guy like Joey McGuire, who's going to go for it on fourth down about 7 or 8 times a game. just in the sense that you're getting your defense off the field when they should be getting off the field, something that Texas was actually really good at in 2023. But to your point, Jerry, I actually look at Kentucky as this year or this conference's Iowa State in the sense where they're not going to get the best talented kids, but they're going to be very well coached and they're going to play physical football up front in that trenches where we know Texas had a really good run in 2023. That was a big step up. That was the strength of the team, I would say, on both sides of the ball. Now it's all about maintaining that level. And again, going against a Mark Stoops team early on, that's a bit interesting to me. I think that they're going to use that same method Michigan will, and if there's a blueprint to beat Texas and it's seen week two, I bet you see it again with Kentucky later on. I do think, not to get into specific games, but that A&M game is going to be a really interesting one later on in the year, of course. I think we talked about that yesterday on the winning drive. That spread's only about 4, and I think if you played that on a neutral field, that spread'd be closer to about 10. So that'll be a fun one later on.
Yeah. All right. I got to
bring up one. If Arch went into the portal, would Dabo answer his call? I guess not.
Hey, he's got Kate Clubb. Quarterback is not necessarily the problem at Clemson.
Dabo's got this thing handled, though. Hey, it's Cooper and Arch. I tell him we don't take transfers.
Hey, let's go to the next question, guys.
Clemson fans, if you think things are going great.
We don't have much crossover with Clemson fans as Texas fans. So I'm not too worried about them listening in and realizing just how, you know, dumb their coach is. All right, Justin Rosenthal, which players who may not have contributed much last year are you most excited for outside of the transfer portal? So you can't include transfer portal. I'm going to go with Colton Vossen.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be mine because if he is finally healthy, like truly healthy and able to give it everything he's got, you know, he was a better player than Ethan Burke at Westlake. He just was. Now, Ethan Burke may have higher upside because Ethan Burke can run like a gazelle, you know, at times, right? And a little bit more athletic. That's going to be the guy that I'm looking for maybe more than most people. Anybody else that you guys want to talk about that you want to bring up that you think has a little extra juice that we're not really talking about right now?
Cam Williams at right tackle, I think is one. I think that Cam Williams is the guy that can go from if pass pro. I think he's going to be really good in the run game, and I think he'll have his ups and downs early in pass pro. But I think by midseason, I think he's going to be very good. He's a guy that the NFL scouts have been asking, who is this guy when they come out for the last 2 years? And they could go, he could go from who is this guy to a guy with like 10 or 12 starts as a third round pick. And he has that much ability. I think it's best case for him to stay 2 years and start 2 years before you go to the NFL. But he's a guy who I think has a chance to really rise with NFL scouts this year. That's one for me. I was trying to think of anybody else, not transfers. I'll go DeAndre Moore. Look, I think we know more about Jonte Cook. Jonte Cook actually hit the field some last year, right? DeAndre Moore rarely did. I think DeAndre Moore's going to have a really good season. I just think he's too good of a route runner. I think he's faster than people think because he's so smooth in his route running. I think he can get on top of you quicker. He can get to a corner quicker than they anticipate. He's got that deceptive speed, and I think he's got really good hands. And I think when you're a route runner with hands and deceptive speed, those guys tend to be really good at the college level. So those would be my two.
CJ, what do you got, bud?
Vosick was going to be my pick, Bobby. He's finally healthy again. We saw the last 2 weeks of spring ball. He looked like the prototypical SEC edge rusher. He's bendier. He's more athletic than Ethan Burke, has a higher ceiling in my eyes. And that's even with Ethan Burke looking like he might end up being a day two pick. The staff is very excited that that Vosick is healthy. And I think he will be a contributor, even in a busy room, like we're seeing and like we're expecting in that defensive end room. Aside from him, Leon Golofao is that linebacker 3 right now. We figure him to be a big piece of that defense, rotating in with David Benda and Anthony Hill at times. Again, dropped weight, moving around a little bit better this year as well. I'm excited to see what he can do because I think last year that staff trusted him a lot on special teams. He had the most snaps of anybody amongst the freshmen in special teams. That speaks to me a little bit more than it should probably, but I think that staff is going to give him his opportunity to make a lot of splash plays this year in that defense, and I'm a big fan of his.
All right. Hey, guys, I got a couple of notes here that I think are pretty good. Guys, Cody Hook saying Leon Golofao, pretty good name there to look for. Blake Jester, Jalen Gilbo, that's good. John Haney had not only Cam Williams, Jerry, but also Nato, Umeo Zulu. UT boy said Vosick. He agreed with CJ and myself. Miguel Gonzalez with Darian Gillette. Ryan Nelson with Cam Williams as well.
And I'll say this. Some guys can help Texas win on special teams as well. I mean, I think that's something important. You know, you can lose games on special teams. I think Texas is going to have some of these younger guys that may be hitting the field more for the first time this year impact winning on special teams. So even if you're not a frontline starter, you can impact winning, especially with the talent level Sark's brought in. So I agree with Darren Gillette to me is a little bit of a guy to watch.
Jelani McDonald as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. All right. We've got several more questions to go here as well. And we want to get to each and every one of those, have you guys talking about them. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to one of our sponsors. And that is our friends at Flat Creek Estates. Flat Creek Estate Winery is a tremendous place. I went out there the other day, me and Rod Babers. It's just absolutely gorgeous. They have a special going on this week, this weekend for Mother's Day. Do not forget that, guys. We've talked about carrotconcierge.com. Make sure you check out Jody Reynolds. Take care of your wife on Mother's Day. Believe me, it will come back to you in spades. Also, take care of her by taking her somewhere special like Flat Creek Estate. They are not just a beautiful venue, though. They also have just killed it in the award-winning wine space. 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking them in right now as far as awards. You can get select bottles of Flat Creek Estate at your local Specs. Flat Creek Estate is also that gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring, including some specials on Mother's Day. It's just between Lago Vista and Marble Falls. And when I tell you it's gorgeous out there this time of year, it is absolutely breathtaking, in my opinion. All right, we got some more news and notes and comments here. Let's get to this question because I think it's particularly good and kind of what we like to talk about here on this program from Jay Lee. Should the need to go into the portal at a given position be an indictment on the management of that position, or is that just the new normal in college football?
I think it's the new normal in college football more than anything else. Look, especially, and Sarkisian said this in an interview yesterday, which I thought it was so spot on, of course, is he said, how many guys leave early sometimes impacts what we do in the portal. He said it in different terms. But look, I mean, that's a reality, is if you recruit really good players and some of those guys have the ability to go early to the NFL after 3 years, sometimes it's hard to prepare for that. I mean, Byron Murphy, the thought was Byron Murphy's going to have a really good junior year. I don't think the thought before the season was he was going to be a top 15 pick.
The number one defensive tackle off the board.
That's why. Go back to the mock drafts before the season and see how many people had him in there. None. Zero. So if you recruit and develop players and those guys go at it the right way, you're going to have some guys leave early, right? And that's going to affect how positions and who you have to go after in the portal. I mean, look, you thought Worthy and you thought Mitchell would be gone, right? But then they ended up being first round pick level guys and they're gone. You thought JT Sanders would probably leave. Then he had a healthy enough season and he leaves. That impacts what you do in the portal. So I think it's the new normal at college football. I mean, obviously there's going to be positions where, and look, here's the other reality, guys. If you sign 22 high school guys, you're not going to hit on all of them. If you hit on 9 or 10 or 11, you've had a good class. Look at historically at these classes. If you hit on 9, if 9 guys get drafted out of 23, you've had a hell of a class. If you have 14 or 15 guys that are real players for you, you've had a great class. You're not going to hit on all those guys. And so you're going to have to shore up some misses in high school recruiting as well. It's going to happen at all positions. It's going to happen. So I think you combine it all, and I think it's just a new reality.
What do you think, CJ?
I think wide receiver is a good example of this. You know, you have bodies in that room set up for the future. You have Isaiah Nayor, you have Casey Kane, guys that you have produced in the past, and of course you expect to be a part of your team. They're buried behind guys that end up going first round, second round, and sixth round, and then they depart. Now you're looking at it like, oh, well, we just put together a really good, you know, product on the field. We thought we had depth, but because, you know, in the world of NIL and the world of the transfer portal, they didn't see the opportunities to get on the field at Texas. They want to take it somewhere else. Now you're looking at a loss of 5 guys rather than 3 and a group of guys with only 8 returning receptions on the roster. Now you have to address it out of the portal because those guys coming in from the high school ranks probably not going to be necessarily ready, and you have to have bodies with production in the past to come in and play for the SEC. So it's a double-edged sword, but at the same time, I think at a school like Texas and a school probably like Clemson, the portal is your benefit. You know, you should be out there going to get instant impact, game-changing pieces, and Texas has done a good job of that. I think one of y'all mentioned an A-minus in this group coming in so far. I'd agree, because I think Texas is going out and adding guys that aren't here to sit on the bench and they will be on the field to play meaningful roles, and that's exactly what you expect out of a guy that you're taking a scholarship from a high school kid away and going out and poaching from a college program. They're here to make an impact for the Longhorns, and this group is going to do exactly that.
Yeah, I want to say this.
Ted Apare, I think, wanted Alfred Collins, my comment on Alfred Collins. But I'll just hey, look, if you don't have the Gooders with you in Florida, your eyes are just going to be sunburned.
I want to say this. If Sark had been here 8 years and there's a deficit at a position like there was at defensive tackle or wide receiver, then we're talking about something different. Given that he's only been here 4 years, he adopted some of the guys that came in. He had to get going. He hasn't had his program truly in full gear, right, the whole time. So I would say that if you ask me this question and Sark's been here 8 years or 7 years, then let's talk. And I think that's part of what, getting back to the whole Dabo Swinney thing, he can't admit his mistakes. You know, I was listening to an interview, Kirk Bowles and Cedric Golden, the Austin American Statesman, had a 20-minute or so interview with Steve Sarkisian yesterday, day before. And Sark reiterated what we say on here, Jerry. What's a successful recruiting class? 8 to 12-year guys play in the NFL. That's a successful recruiting class. That was the exact number Sark gave. And I've been saying that number for 25, 30 years now.
Yeah.
Because I talked to too many head coaches back in the day that said 8 to 12. If we get that many in the draft, it's a successful recruiting class. Okay. Now you got to win a lot of games along the way, but athletically, you answered the bell in that recruiting class.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all good and great, but you don't have that right out of the gate necessarily because you haven't had an opportunity to establish your program. Nick Saban did it back in a day when he could go get guys out of the portal like Mount Cody.
Right.
Junior college.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, JUCO was a real thing back then.
That was the old portal, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so nowadays, if they're taking guys out of the portal to backfill, I have no problem with that. And it's better to admit your mistakes or your shortcomings than to deny them. Right? You know, you got to address them. But I think if Texas is still taking 11 guys out of the portal in 2 or 3 years, then there may be some mismanagement. That's what I would say. And you got to also remember, one of these defensive tackles probably wouldn't be here if Trill Carter had stayed.
Correct.
Definitely.
You know, and so there's some attrition there that works in that direction.
Think about it this way, too. I mean, how many coaches have stepped in and started, we jokingly say, started on third base at programs? Well, Ryan Day and Kirby Smart are the ones of late. And it took Kirby a while to get over the hump, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he immediately, you had a feel from a recruiting standpoint, he would eventually. But that was also kind of the height of Nick Saban when he left, too. So it was a tougher to get, and Clemson was really good at that time too. So it was hard to get over that hump, and Urban was at Ohio State, right? So, I mean, that's pretty formidable when Kirby took over at Georgia. But those are the two guys who I would say started on third base. Some would argue Harbaugh did, but not really. I mean, those guys went into programs that were already top 5, 6 talented in college football. And so you could go get it done there, but it's still not easy. I mean, to me, my point of this, it's still not easy to get it done.
Good stuff. Hey, I want to mention this. Somebody, Cody Hook, asked me, someone like a Caden Finley, young man out of Aledo, whose dad is Jamarco Finley. Do they go on to their parents' alma mater where they succeeded and have these expectations, or go somewhere else and make their own path? I want to mention this real quick. First of all, I texted with Jermichael yesterday. And the reason I texted with him, I had seen that he was graduating from the university this today, I think is one of the commencement ceremonies. Then there's more tomorrow. You know, if you graduate from Texas, they've got like your school graduation and then the whole school graduation. So if you're a business major or education major, whatever, and then they go to the whole school one. Well, Jermichael is graduating this weekend. So I was reaching out to him to actually say congratulations on that and ask him if he wanted to come on the show. So Jermichael will be on the show next Tuesday morning visiting with us. We're going to be talking about his degree as well as his sons. Jerry, I know you've kept tabs on Caden Finley. Give folks a little bit of a feel for who Caden Finley is first, and then let's talk about the legacy aspect at the University of Texas and football players.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. He's a kid he's getting bigger. His frame is developing. He plays wide receiver. I think he may end up being that hybrid tight end type of guy. So really in his recruitment, the big thing with him is how big is he going to get? What's that frame going to look like as he gets older? But yeah, he's played wide receiver at Aledo, I think he's going to transition long-term more to that flex hybrid type of tight end. And how big he gets and how quickly he gets there, I think is going to really impact his recruitment. He's a guy that has multiple offers, though. He's got SEC. He's got Power 5 offers. He is a legitimate football player. I think the key will be as colleges look at him as it gets closer to going from offer to committable offers for some of these kids is kind of where they projecting him at and what is that going to look like. And that kind of leads to this question, Bobby. Am I wrong and disappointed more Longhorn legacy kids aren't coming up? I mean, look, there's no guarantees that the guys are going to be close to what their dads were. But I'll say this. If Aaron Ross and Sanya Richards kids aren't fast, well, they're going to be fast. The question is, are they going to like sports?
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible for them not to be fast. The question is, are they going to like sports?
Caden actually picked up two offers the last 2 days, Nebraska and UCLA, to kind of give you an indication of where that recruitment's going. So he's starting to pick up some steam on the recruiting trail as well.
I got to mention this and talk about former players and stuff. Jalen Lott, his dad, James Lott. CJ, you know him. He's at Panther Creek in Frisco. He's a 2026. He's one of the top players on the board for the Longhorns, we understand. I also want to mention this one, Cedric Griffin, who's been on our program quite a bit. His son, Swade, out at Lago Vista, medaled in a couple different track events at the state meet this past weekend. Well, guess who he got a scholarship offer from yesterday, Jerry? Dwayne Aquina at Arizona.
That's got to be awesome.
Swade Griffin. I sent Cedric a note, too, on that, and he was extremely excited about it. That's like a – that could be a passing of the torch there if Swade, of course, doesn't get an offer from the University of Texas.
One more that has to be mentioned. Chris Ogden's son, Bo Ogden, is one of the top 30, 40, 2026 basketball players in America. I mean, he's a kid that has a chance to be an NBA player one day. And if Chris is listening to this, I don't know if he is. He couldn't guard his kid. Bo would dunk on him, go right by him. I don't know where he got the athleticism from, but it waved bye-bye to Chris about in eighth grade.
he's gonna have hurt feelings over that, Jerry.
Bo's a very, very good player. He's probably gonna be a pro on some level. We'll see if it's the NBA. He's really good.
All right. Hey, we're got a couple more questions and one more thing to mention, but before we do that, I want to say thank you to our sponsor each and every Friday. It's BKCW. They are just terrific sponsors of our show and have been for a long period of time. If your business had a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal, you may have been caught in the insurance trap. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of their headquarters in Austin and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can effectively manage not only your insurance costs, but your risk as well. Go to bkcw.com or send an email, info@bkcw.com, to get started with a free risk assessment today. Thank you so much for your sponsorship of Coffee and Football. All right, and Jerry, we've got a couple more comments here that I want to get to because, frankly, it's a big day for you. Number 49, this is from Brandon Posey. Happy B-Day, Jerry. My beautiful, energetic daughter, Emma, turns 7 today. We won't forget your B-Day because it's her birthday. She listens with me in the truck. Many blessings. Brandon, thank you so much. I saw Robert Gilbert. I think you share a birthday with somebody else on here, yeah. Jerry. Good stuff and all. CJ, give us one last taste of what you're doing today because I think that's important. And then we'll get going here on Friday morning's Coffee and Football.
Yeah, tonight headed over to McKinney. A short drive from me right now. I'm up here in Allen. So headed over to McKinney. I'm going to go see Riley Pettijohn in his spring game, get an understanding of where he is developmentally. Also an update on where Texas stands in his recruitment, which Jerry and I both believe Texas is in a pretty good spot right now heading into the summer months. Of course, he was on campus for the spring game as well. So just over about 3 weeks ago. But I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, kind of look like the Hulk back here behind me. I don't know where that is, that photo is, but I'm hoping to see exactly what I can get out of Riley Pettijohn this evening. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good game for him.
And look, that game he'll be at too is Zay Gentry, really good corner. They have a D-line kid that is a power four level kid. McKinney was one of the better looking teams on the hoof I saw last year. So, and they have a young quarterback coming up that CJ will see tonight as well. Has worked with Kevin Murray for a few years up there. Lefty kid. So CJ's going to see a lot of dudes tonight.
Good stuff. All right, guys. Hey, we're going to get going, and that'll be it for Friday morning's Coffee and Football. We appreciate all of our sponsors. Please check us out on OnTexasFootball.com during the day. We'll have updates on various recruits as well as any team news or notes that happen. That's OnTexasFootball.com. For CJ Vogel, Jerry Hamilton, our sponsors, BKCW, Flat Creek Estate Winery, as well as South Point Dodge. This has been Friday morning's live stream. Longhorns pick up Jermaine Lole, the defensive tackle out of Louisville. Big pickup for the Horns. Guys, hook them and have a good weekend, man.
Welcome.